Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Welcome to the 5 Yard IDP pod with me, Nate Davis. Today we will be reviewing week 9 and getting you ready for week 10. How are you, Mr. Veal? Your good week on the old fantasy train?
Yeah, we both had a good IDP week in our IDP leagues, wins all round, and quite happy, and beating our very own Rich in our Lawrence Taylor league, so happy with that. Still 4-5 in both, but you're storming away with the Ray Lewis league at the moment, good weekend, and yeah, I'm looking forward to this show because it's just been it was a mental Sunday. It was all
crazy
over the shop. So
crazy. I haven't done the review of how many predictions we got wrong, but that was incredible. I mean, I mean, seriously, it was, if anybody, you know, anybody put some money on a bit of an accumulator of bets and that come in, what happened? That was crazy.
We'd have to give him a job because that's just,
get him in.
It was all over the shop, but it's another entertaining weekend. So
yeah, absolutely.
So looking forward to it.
So I'm going to mention our fan team free roll. We had it last week. Absolutely amazing. We had 1,200 people joined it. Absolutely crazy numbers. We're doing it again this week. I've just heard it's kind of breaking news. We obviously record this on a Tuesday night. We've been told that we are doing it again this week. So if you tune in to the DFS show, which will be tomorrow night, this goes out on a Wednesday. Thursday night's DFS show. You can find out more on there. Before we go any further on the actual pod itself, I've got to let you know the usual. As you know, we are supported by Manscaped. They are our sponsors and they are the market leader in men's below the waist grooming. They've just released their Lawnmower 4.0, which is a fantastic bit of kit. And one of the best things about it is the skin safe technology, so you get no nicks on your bits. You can receive 20% off with the code 5YARD at manscaped.com. It really is a game changer in that area. So you're missing out if you don't have one. As I said, 20% off with the code 5YARD at manscaped.com. There's also free worldwide shipping. So sort yourself out and get involved. Right then, Brent, you're kicking us off with Thursday night football.
Yeah,
Ravens, Dolphins, is it?
Ravens at the Dolphins, yeah. Just a word of warning for our listeners, there's a good chance my wife, who runs a care home, has taken my two huskies with her. So they've been out the house all day. They are.
Is that recommended?
The rest of us love it, mate.
Huskies in a care home?
Yeah, they've been tested for COVID. They're okay. They are due home any minute now. So I apologise if there's a bit of hooning around and mayhem in a minute and some barking. So
hooning.
We're going to do our best to. Yeah, well, you've met my dogs. You know what they're like. So anyway, we're going to do our best to work through it, power through. So yeah, Thursday night football, Ravens at the Dolphins. Right, good news. Dolphins win a game. Really? Bad news. I think the one game win streak probably ends on Thursday. The Ravens offense on Sunday, they just kept pounding away against the Vikings. I hate to mention it, another overtime win or loss, depending on what side of the fence you're at. But the defense played its part, to be fair. They put Kirk Cousins under good pressure. They held the Vikings to just 13 first downs. 31 points conceded were mainly down to big plays by Cousins, Jefferson and Dalvin Cook, to be fair, rather than sort of great plays by the defense. The bad news for the Miami fans is the Dolphins don't really do big plays. They haven't really got it in their locker at the moment. So top Ravens performers from week nine, Josh Burns, 32-year-old linebacker, top scored with 22 points. He's done okay, but you know, he's been called up from the practice squad in week six. So probably not one for you sort of dynasty fans out there. Elsewhere, linebacker Tyus Bowser picked up 14.5 points for the second week running. DB Deshaun Elliott had a good day with 17 points, but he's now probably out for the season. Torn pec and biceps, we're hearing. So the Elliott injury is probably a bit of good news if you've got Marlon Humphrey on your roster, though. So that's something to consider. I'm still not big on this Ravens defense from an IDP perspective. As a defense for me, they do just enough to get Lamar Jackson, that offense, back on the field, and then they just let Lamar do his thing. If you break down the fantasy numbers, aside arguably from Jason Owe, who's had a reasonable season, mind you, even then, he's only hit double figures 4 out of the 9 weeks. So even Patrick Queen, I know he's a popular draft pick. I've got him in at least one of our IDP leagues. By the 22 points he racked up in week one, he's done, I wouldn't say he's done nothing, but he's not been the most consistent sort of player you could have on your roster. The other issue I've got with this matchup from the Ravens' point of view against the Dolphins is the defense is probably not likely to be on the field an awful lot. Thursday night, that's more likely to be down to Miami's offense playing safe, you know, going three and out again. Whether two is back or not, I don't know. They're taking it day by day. It could be Jacoby Brissett again on Thursday. So, but I think it'll be more the Dolphins offense being safe and checking down and all the rest of it than big defensive plays from the Ravens this week. So, from the Dolphins' perspective, you know, the Dolphins defense, on the other hand, I do expect to be on the field a lot Thursday night. Not good for us Miami fans necessarily in terms of the result, but it could be some busy boys racking up some IDP numbers from the fantasy side of things. Jerome Baker, still a must start for me if you've got him. Picked up another 18.5 points, including a very, very bit of a tenuous pick against the Texans. I thought he came back from being out of bounds, actually, but the line judge called it in. I'm not going to complain. But he's a safe bet for double figures most weeks. Emmanuel Ogba is another one in the front seven worth a shout, especially off the back of the 31.5 points he racked up last weekend, 2.5 sacks, got to the QB another 3 times. And that's the value for me in the matchup this week. It's for me, it's in the Dolphins D-line and linebackers, because as fun as it is to watch Lamar Jackson, you know, he has also been stuffed 24 times this season. That puts him 5th currently on the Tannehill-o-meter of sacks, as no one's calling it. I'd say if you're short of DL this week, you could, if you wanted to, possibly take a waiver punt on the likes of Christian Wilkins or Andrew Van Ginkel. Van Ginkel would probably be the preferred option. Picked up 17 points, including another sack against the Texans. But that's a bit of a stretch, if I'm being honest. You know, I think you'd have to be very short. Short, actually. They're not in my pick to the week.
No.
So that's a little bit left field. That's the desperate Miami fan in me. I'm not interested in the Dolphins DBs this week. Nothing in the secondary. Jackson does throw the odd pick, 7 so far this season, but his pass completions currently sit at 65%, so he does take pretty good care of the ball. That completion percentage is on par with Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen. So, you know, he's not an easy pick for most secondaries. Summing the game up, Ravens to win it. Dolphins DL and linebackers for a little bit of IDP value, but I would stick with your tried and tested players, i.e. your Jerome Bakers, probably. Not much outside of that for me.
Yeah, I got the Ravens winning it. Just to add what you mentioned on Patrick Queen. So I believe that Patrick Queen is being mentored now by Josh Bynes, which is quite incredible, because Josh Bynes is he's an all right linebacker, but he's so mentally. I found that out on the Big Nickel IDP pod from the IDP guys. Anybody watching this that is really into the IDP side of things, you know, that is where, you know, that's one of the pods that I listen to. They are cracking guys, and if you can
give them a listen. They're a different gravy.
He's been a bit. He's, as I say, I was trying to sugarcoat. He's been a big disappointment, I think. For
yeah.
And he went early in a lot of drafts. Like I said, I took him. I can't remember where I drafted him, but I know I took him fairly early on. And I'm not alone, but yeah, just hasn't produced.
So. Yeah, yeah. Look, he's one of those guys that they've spent a lot of time on him already. He's got that sort of like raw qualities. It's just more, I think it's a discipline. It's knowing when to go all in and not, you know, the thing is he misses quite a few tackles and things like that. And I think that's the problem with Patrick Queenie.
Do you think he's trying too hard at the moment now?
I think he's trying too hard to make a big play and a big statement. So the issue is yeah, you know, he's charging in when he should be sort of holding, you know. And the thing is, if he gets beat, the impact's bigger. So it's just a case of you know, it's typical youth really from that point of view. That's that side of it just needs to be not you know, just drummed out of him. But you know, because you still want to keep that rawness, but you don't want it to be at the detriment of a big play to the opposition. And I think that's the issue that I think people are looking at with Patrick Queen.
He needs to get back to the basics, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's it. That side of things. But I mean, again, we'll wait and see. It's not over for him, but it's certainly damaging him this year. So where am I? Falcons at the Cowboys for me, kicking off the Sunday games. For me, I've got this down as an easy win for the Cowboys. But IDP-wise, I like this for both sides. I expect the Cowboys, like I said, to bounce back and win this game. I really like their secondary. I like the Cowboys' secondary, and I like the Falcons' linebackers in this. So going through week 9, what a great win it was for the Falcons. And I sort of kicked myself for betting against them in this. People that know, I followed the Falcons before the Vikings, before I found them my team to support. I followed the Falcons because one of my closest friends supports them, and he got me into it. But I should have known that, you know, the Falcons show up playing against the Saints. They really do, and they did on the weekend. It was a really good performance by the Falcons, and they did brilliantly. And it was quite a week points-wise for the Falcons. It was quite a week points-wise for the Falcons. IDP-wise, Grady Jarrett, 11.5 points. He was unlucky not to get a sack. The other two to sort of mention is the DBs, Eric Harris, Fabian Moreau, that he's currently playing well. The one guy that I do really like, and I've liked him since they picked him, to be fair, it was a bit of a shock when they did pick him, but they did, and that's DB AJ Terrell. I know he said rookie then, because he was it was a big deal when they picked him up as a rookie last year. He got 16 points in week 9, and I feel it's going to be another busy day for him in week 10 against Dak. I do like AJ Terrell. Flipping it over to the Cowboys, D. I said, and I've already mentioned, I like the matchup on the secondary. It was a week 9 was a terrible week for the Cowboys. I complete shocker that one, and the way it happened as well. I mean, the Broncos were seriously not playing well, completely clueless in what they were doing, and then they put that performance together against the Cowboys that were on fire, everyone was saying. So, shocking. But anyway, IDP-wise, the Cowboys spent a lot of time on the field. Micah Parsons was second overall in scoring. I knew it. I've had it rubbed out, actually. He was first overall, but last night screwed it. Micah Parsons, 41.50 points. 2.5 sacks, 10 tackles, and 3 tackles for a loss. it was a run-heavy game from the Broncos. Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, they kept churning away, and they kept finding the holes. They kept doing damage. And that did assist Micah Parsons to getting a score like that. Also, DL Carlos Watkins, he benefited from it. He got himself a sack and he got himself a few tackles as well. Other people that benefited, talking about it, step forward, Mr. Leighton Van Der Esch. He's arrived. He's back.
We haven't mentioned him for a while, have we?
No, 19.5 points, 12 tackles and a tackle for a loss. But got to put that to bed because they're playing the Falcons week 10. It will not be run heavy. I mean, their options for a run heavy offense is Mike Davis, who just has not, it's just not happened for him and them this season. So do not expect those kind of figures to come back again because Matty will air it out. So my thing is fire up that Dallas secondary. Jordan Lewis, Jerron Curse, Trevon Diggs, and even Donovan Wilson. I think they could be the way to go in this one for me. So that's the players that I would look to hit a big score this week. And of the obvious names, the Falcons linebackers again. If you've got Micah Parsons, fair play to you. But it's a Dallas bounce back win for me. And there you go. What do you reckon, Brent?
Yeah, I think it was. Let's put it down to a blip for Dallas. I think there. And to be fair, although the Falcons played well, you know, the Saints ran them close. They chased them down towards the end, but for a big play by Ryan, which I'll touch on when I cover the Saints in a bit. That game could have gone either way towards the end, but Andy and the Falcons fans will be loving that because
absolutely
they hate the Saints.
They really do.
Absolutely hate each other. So, Cowboys for me. Yeah. So,
where are you?
Right, I am going to New York, where we've got the Bills coming to the Jets. So the Bills coming off the back of losing Sunday's Josh Allen Bowl, where quarterback Josh Allen looked a bit out of sorts. But you can't pin it all on Allen. To be fair, it was a bad day all round, bad day at the office for the Bills. IDP-wise for Buffalo, Levi Wallace corner was a standout performer. I don't think we've mentioned him all season, with 20 points. On the other side, Tre'Davious White crept into double figures with 13.5 points. The matchup this week, I expect a response from the Bills. It's a must-win divisional game after they slipped to 5-3. And they've now got the 5-4 Pats breathing down their necks as well. So against the Jets, for me, the DBs have got to be in play because it's Zach Wilson. He's already thrown 9 picks this season. And if you've got the likes of Jordan Poyer, he's a must start for me in this game. Wilson, I think, is still sort of prone to sort of airing it out and making mistakes. If you're sniffing around on the waivers, Tre'Davious White and Levi Wallace should be out there. Levi Wallace, bit of a flash in the pan score for me, so Tre'Davious White would be the one to look at. I wouldn't be surprised if the linebackers step up and play better this week as well against this Jets offense. Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, I'd be looking for them to score well again. Against the Jets offense, which is they both had relatively quiet performances on Sunday, but this is a bit of a different matchup. Nothing in the DL for me at the moment for this Bills team. Greg Rousseau, someone I was quite hot on in the summer, someone I tipped, hasn't scored well really since his 26 points in week 5 against the Chiefs. And the concern for me with the likes of Rousseau as a young player, underperforming, in terms of fantasy points, you know, he's been up against the Jags, the Dolphins and the Titans in the last 3 games. Those are hardly world-class offensive lines. So if he's not getting through those, questions have got to be asked, to be honest. Moving over to the Jets, coming off Thursday night's defeat last week to the Colts. And the DB, Ashton Davis, was a standout IDP player last Thursday with 19.5 points, a couple of forced fumbles. I don't like the Jets secondary though this week. In the loss to the Jags, the Bills did not. They seem to abandon the running game altogether. And Allen seemed to be running around all over the place. You know, and it did allow the Jags to put constant pressure on Allen. This week, again, I expect a bit more from the run game. Expect Singletary to be a bit more involved. They should have Zach Moss back concussion protocol. So, and to be fair, although he had a bad game, Allen doesn't throw too many picks. He's only thrown 5 this season. So I wouldn't be looking at that Jets secondary in any way, shape or form. Positives for the Jets. We would be looking at someone that we've seemed to mention every week, CJ Mosley, to have another busy day. Bar week 1, he has been good for double-digit IDP points every week he's played since week 2. In the DL, I'd expect Quinn and Williams to be more involved as well. Like Mosley, he's been good for 10-plus scores sort of last 3 weeks, so he's sort of trending fairly consistently. So there's a bit of IDP value on both sides, both teams, but Bills win this game for me, simply because they have to. They've got to get back on track. I think they'll put it together, and they've got to be better, and I think they will be better against the Jets team on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure who the quarterback would be, because obviously Zach Wilson's out, so he's been out for quite a while. But it's either going to be Mike White or is it Johnson, the other guy? I don't think. Yeah, he came in last week.
But it doesn't really make a difference. We mentioned him last week, didn't we? I mean, he did sort of step in, and he was, he was fairly solid. But
if that's where you're pinning your hopes on, the fact that's how it's going to hold up. Yeah. I mean, the Bills should be all over that, and I expect them like you said. I mean, it was the Titans. The Titans are on a bit of, they're on that kind of roll of. They've got their eyes on the prize, and they definitely are in the race now. Derrick Henry or no Derrick Henry doesn't seem to make much. I couldn't believe it, actually. They were phenomenal. I'd just push that to one side. I think we were going to see the Bills sort of bounce back to normal. Because I think that's a different class. I don't know quite the Titans when they're on it, they're virtually unplayable. They seem to be that kind of team at this moment in time. Right. So for me, Browns at Pats. Yes, it is. Tough go on this game. Just talking about the actual result of the game. I like the Pats at home. Yeah. But before I talk about them, Have you got the old fanfare sound? A bit of a fanfare sound or a drum roll, Brent? Brent, what you got? Got anything? Lovely. The Browns secondary have eventually arrived, people.
For all you sound effects on this pod, people.
Browns fans, I mean, we've been kind of waiting for this for a while now. So in week 9, Troy Hill, Denzel Ward, Greg Newsom, John Johnson, they all had a bit of a day, to be fair. They destroyed Joe Burrow's day. I don't think I've cheered so much for a team that I don't have any sort of feelings for. But I think it's because I think it's the problem is like the Browns secondary are a decent side. You know, they're a decent team, and you can't just carry on like that. And I really want to talk about them. So now they've scored some points, I feel like I can talk about them. So Troy Hill, he got himself a couple of sacks, both on QB blitzes. Denzel Ward, he got only his second ever IDP touchdown on the opening drive of the game. 99-yard return for him. John Johnson, he also got a pick and a forced fumble in what was just an awesome day for the Browns secondary. So happy days for them, and hopefully they will kick on for that. Well, not for Pats fans, but forget them; they've had enough joy. Miles Garrett, he only
preaching to the converted there.
Miles Garrett, he only had the 1.5 sacks. So a bit of a quiet week for him.
Yeah, I'll drop him.
So he's only got, what is he now, 12 on the season. My man, Anthony Walker, a linebacker, who I screamed for everybody to go and get. He had a stormer. He had 14 tackles and a sack. But I would say to people to use him while you can. I expect his usage will drop because when JOK is back, I'm sure it will drop. They like what they saw. The Browns organization when Jock was on the field. So I got a feeling Anthony Walker's snap count will suffer. But all in all, for week 9, it was an IDP scoring frenzy for him and loved it. I absolutely loved it. It's great to see some of those players up there that we predicted at the start of the season. And yes, but could be not back with a bang, but I don't think it'll be the same against the Pats. It won't be the same. They're a different outfit with a different look, and it just won't be quite the same. I do think Troy Hill and John Johnson are decent ads this week, though. Going over to the Pats, mentioned about a couple of picks that the Browns had, and Brendan mentioned JC Jackson last week. He got 2 interceptions and an ITP touchdown in week 9. He's got 5 interceptions on the season. He could be a cracking pickup if you're looking for somebody to make that big play. His tackle floor is not really there, so you know he's not somebody you're going to rely on week in, week out. But if you're looking for somebody to make that big play, he could be the kid. But talking about somebody who is a great tackle floor ad, Kyle Duggar, he is a great ad. His tackle floor is so good. He's got 56 total tackles on the season, and he leads the team in tackles at DB. Safety. He's definitely somebody you've got to add for the long term, especially if you're using your DB slot. If you're using your DB slots for players with like a steady tackle floor to get you those consistent points. Right. What else have I got on these lot? A linebacker veteran Jamie Collins. He scored well in week 9. As he got an interception, but his tackle count was low. Matt Judon, he got himself another sack and played well. My picks though for this matchup, they all come from the secondary. Troy Hill and John Johnson from the Browns, Kyle Duggar, JC Jackson from the Pats. JC Jackson being your big play, Kyle Duggar being your tackle floor. I am going for Browns win. I expect him to disrupt Mac Jones in this one. Just a little bit too much pressure up front, I think, will come his way. What do you reckon, Brad?
I don't know with this one.
Tough one, isn't it? Tough
the
one.
Pats seem to. I can't pick the Pats, can I? I am tempted. I mean, they seem to be. They've gradually been putting it together this season. Yeah, the defense is looking competent. Judon, Duggar. I've just had a look on the waivers. You're not going to pick up Duggar now. A couple of weeks ago, yeah. Even JC Jackson's gone on most of them as well now. So,
people listening to us.
I hope so.
So yeah. Say they are. fucking shit too if they want to win. Sorry,
well,
yeah, carry on.
No. I mean, you're top of the, you're 7-2 in the Ray Lewis League. I mean, they should be listening to you.
Oh, not doing very well in the other one, though.
Yeah, well, no one's perfect. But I've got a sneaky feeling for the Pats in this one. I think they can, like I said earlier, they're breathing down the Bills' neck a bit. I think. Yeah, the Browns' defense. If they can put in another performance like that, it's a toss of a coin game for me. I'm gonna split the difference. Go with the Pats.
I'll tell
the other Finn fans anywhere. But
I'll tell you what. I've just seen something. You might have a point on that. So the COVID list.
Here we go.
Chubb, and is it? Not Dearness Johnson. Who else? Oh, I think it is. Hang on. I've lost it now. It's on my news feed. It's gone. Two of Joy. I don't know. There's two running backs. Oh no, it's Felton. Felton and Chubb are now on the COVID list. Yeah, they've both been vaccinated. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Keep it quiet.
Jonas Johnson, he's going to go crazy. No, sorry, I shouldn't.
Well, yeah, that could make all the difference.
Could.
So yeah, all right. Well, with that breaking news, I'm definitely going with the Pats.
Yeah, me. I've just jumped on the Pats bus as well. Right.
Minute by minute prediction changes, people. Right. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Another Sunday game. Lions at the Steelers. Right, Lions. Where to start with the Lions? Well, good news is they're coming off a bye week. So the defense might run around a little bit more enthusiastically. Outside of that, mate, I got nothing. Seriously.
You don't have to review them because they come off a bye week. Get in.
It's just, I mean, seriously, I looked at the IDP sort of Lions players on the waivers in both of the main IDP leagues we play in, both the Ray Lewis and Lawrence Taylor leagues. And guess what? They are all there. All of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that says it all. I mean, across two leagues, 24 teams, not one person has taken a single Lions defensive player at the moment. They're 0-8. They're just waiting for the end of the season. They're looking forward to the draft. And frankly, I'd be really, really worried about him this week against his Steelers defense. And with that in mind, you touched on Mika being close. Mr. TJ Watt, ladies and gents.
Wow.
42 points Monday night, 3 more sacks. He's now only 2 behind sack leader Myles Garrett. He also had 7 tackles, 3 for a loss, 3 more QB hits and a pass defender just for good measure. So now the worrying thing for the Lions this week, on top of everything else, is that for me, in the second half of that Monday night game, Justin Fields and the Bears offense actually adjusted quite well to try and sort of circumvent TJ Watt. I think they realised that they had to start going over him because trying to go around him, or if you're stupid enough, through him, isn't going to work. The problem is the Lions team don't have the tools or the QB, I don't think, to do that very effectively. So no. I think this could be an absolute field day again for TJ Watt. And we spoke about it before the show. So with that in mind, I did have a couple of questions. It's week 10. If you're there or thereabouts in your IDP leagues and you're trying to, would you seriously consider trying to put a trade together for someone like a TJ Watt, given that, you know, he's racked up 193 points or 193 and a half points, beg your pardon, by week 9? Or a better question might be, given that you've got him on your roster in our Ray Lewis league, what would it take for someone to convince you to part with TJ Watt, given the numbers he's racking up this season?
It depends where you are. If you're challenging for, you know, and talking to, you speak to the dynasty guys, right? They'll tell you the same thing when it comes to Rich does it all the time. If he's in the hunt for a league, I tell you what, like at the moment, if he's in the hunt and you're not in the hunt, you've got Christian McCaffrey, expect an offer coming your way, because this is the kind of thing. But this is kind of like the league winning thing that you can make. You could give away all your picks right now to win this year for TJ Watt. That's what people will maybe try and do. The only thing is obviously if the challenger has got TJ Watt in his team, then you're not going to get him off him. And that's the problem where I've got him in the Ray Lewis league and I'm at the top of the tree. In the Ever League, where I'm not doing very well, I don't think I'd be able to get him. I don't know who's got him, actually. I'll have a gander. But yeah, I would. If I was in the hunt and I didn't have him, it could secure it. The only thing is obviously, if the Steelers get in the mix, will they reduce the time that he's got on the field later on? It is potential. It depends. But
he's so integral to that defense.
But when you come to selling him, the thing is at DL, it's difficult because there is probably what 5-6. I'd have to have a look at this moment in time, but 5-6 that would be in the mix to be able to sort of like compete together. Obviously, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, Harold Landry, those kind of players that are around. If you could pick up, if you could let TJ Watt go, pick up Harold Landry, maybe, and still, you know,
yeah,
have some kind of something nice in between. You might take it. I don't know.
No,
but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, just thought I'd throw that out there. Right. Back to the rest of the Steelers for this week.
What's your offer? You didn't tell me what your offer was.
No. This wasn't a precursor to
a
mad trade. No. I haven't quite dropped off. I'm not.
I'll have all your picks forever. No, carry on.
I've already done that once in the home league. That's come back to bite me in the ass. Right. Back to the rest of the Steelers for this week. So, as usual, you are not going to find too many on the waivers that are going to make a massive difference. Watt, Fitzpatrick, Haywood, Bush, Schobert, they're all likely on rosters. Well, they will be on rosters. And if you've got them, you're playing them this week. And if you're lucky enough to have more than one, double up and stack them, basically. This is an awful Lions team, as I've already said, but I'm not going to dwell on that. Although, if you are short of DB this week, I have spotted Terrell Edmonds on the waivers. He's put in some good performances this season against the Raiders and the Bengals. And with Jared Goff likely to be chasing the game early doors, then he could be a good shout. Maybe not long term, but if someone to slot in this week, he's on my pick list. Summary, load up on your Steelers players, home win in Pittsburgh. Simple.
Yeah, I've only got one thing written and it says two words, Steelers, easy.
That's it. We don't need to dwell on that. Right, moving on, mate. Who you got?
Jags at Colts. I can't believe I went with my heart and went with Jets last week when we were talking about it. I looked back at that, watched the stream again and was like, fucking hell. Come on. Mate.
We went Jets as well.
I don't know how much we'd had to drink, but it was like
you're a bad influence on me. I'm gonna stop listening to you.
But I mean, seriously, I mean, come on. But I'm not gonna do it again. And I'm all in on the Colts this week against the Jags. Not going, you know, oh, I would love the rookie to do really well. Sod that. I expect Jonathan Taylor, who is going off on one at the moment. I think he'll have another great game. I know. Look, the Bills never had any real kind of run game last week, and they really missed it. It's going to be different this week for the Jags. They have got to deal with Taylor, and they've got to try and stop him. If it's not Taylor, it's going to be Hines or whoever. You know, they're going to keep running the ball, and they're going to keep pressuring them that way. So, but defensively, it was a pretty solid performance by the Colts in week 9. Linebacker, Bobby Okereke, he top scored with 24.5 points. He got a nice, solid 11 tackles. He's been consistent all year. He's a great add if he's around. He shouldn't be. But if he is, snap him up. The big names, such as Darius Leonard, Kenny Moore, they scored well. So did DeForest Buckner up front. I really find myself willing rookie Quitty Pay to get his first sack. I mean, it's getting silly, really. I mean, he gets so close. So he's playing really, really well. And he's seeing some really good time on the field, which is quite interesting because the Colts are rotating other players, but not so much Quitty Pay. So Pay got to the Jets QB twice in week 9. Unfortunately, no sack, as we said. But he's definitely, he seems a big part of what the Colts are going to be trying to do moving forward. So if you haven't got him, especially if you're in the Dynasty League, pick him up and stash him if you don't want to play him as a starter. I fancy the Colts to get pressure on Trevor Lawrence in this one. And I feel that this will be back to more of the normal. I expect the Colts to get out in front quite early because they seem to go big early at the moment. And I expect them to force Trevor Lawrence to throw it. Going over to the Jags, for God's sake. So they're coming off a great win in week 9. hopefully everybody has got over the fucking Josh Allen sacking Josh Allen headline. People were losing their minds. I mean, you could tell it's a, you know, I love America. I do. I absolutely love it. But Jesus, it's just because they got the same name. Chill out, man. Anyway, I was losing my mind as well, but not because they got the same name. Because in one of my matchups, I was up against bloody Josh Allen. Defensive Josh Allen, that is. I think it was in the defensive invitational league that I play in. He scored 38 points. So, yeah, it wasn't great for me. He got 8 tackles, a sack, an interception, and a fumble recovery. He probably kicked a field goal. To be fair, it was getting silly. He was doing everything crazy. So he had an absolutely massive day. Apart from him, you ask who mentioned DB Ruby Ford, DL Tavon Bryan, DL Dwayne Smoot. We mentioned him last week. They all scored well against the Bills. And I like this game as a whole, IDP wise. I feel it's a safer pick in working out if there'll be sacks or interceptions. I think there will be. I think there'll be plenty, or potentially there'll be plenty in this. So it's a game that I would pick. And I feel that the Colts will still heavily run the ball, like we mentioned. So you'd expect Miles Jack, Damian Wilson. They should have decent tackle floors. I mentioned earlier, I picked the Colts to win. I feel they've hit a bit of form. And, yeah, I think there'll be too much for the Jags in this one. But, like I said, a good match IDP-wise. I wouldn't be surprised if the top scorers of the week, or a group of the top scorers, are at the top of the tree.
Yeah, I think we're both sort of regretting not sticking with our gut really last week, and because I know we've both been sort of quite positive on this Colts defense in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. A couple of players that I've mentioned before, like, you know, DeForest Buckner, have started to sort of step up and put in the performances that we know they're capable of. The concern for me would be, well, there's a couple of issues for me with the Jags. Like you say, they've got to deal with that sort of double bubble threat of Taylor and Hines on the ground. And for all their defense was good, and the Bills had a bad day at the office, they didn't really look like running away with the game and putting up, well, you know, much in the way of points. So, I still think there's lots of holes in this Jags offense. They can't expect, you know, the rookie to do it all. Colts taking it for me. Like you said, let's not back any more rookie quarterbacks at the moment. I'm going over to the Saints at the Titans, which could be a really good game, actually. We've already touched on the Saints-Falcons game. The Saints defense, for me, arguably cost them the game on Sunday against the Falcons. The run defense was good, I thought, for most of the game. But to allow that makeshift offense to drag them back from sort of, you know, I mean, they got back from 24-6 to a 25-24 lead, only for the defense to allow that 64-yard throw. It wasn't, Ryan played well, but it was a throw over the top, which went for 64 yards. The defense should have been expecting that. They should have been busting a gut to do everything they could to cover that. And the offense must have been absolutely banging their heads against the wall in the locker room afterwards. And it's set up the short winning field goal and cost them the game. So it does kind of indicate, as good as the Saints defense can be, they're still a little bit erratic for me. One pick for the Saints on the waivers this week, I would have a look at, would be at DL, Marcus Davenport. He's back from injury, racked up 21.5 points on Sunday, including a sack and a forced fumble, plus a couple of QB hits. And even though the Titans are sitting pretty at 7-2 on top of the AFC South, Mr. Tannehill is still the most sacked quarterback in the league. There could be the Saints sort of front seven will be looking at that. Elsewhere for the Saints, Demario Davis, Cam Jordan, Malcolm Jenkins, I think they're all fairly solid picks in this matchup. Despite Sunday's loss, there's still value in the Saints defense. chance this week, you know, because despite the big win over the Rams, you know, the Titans offense only managed 195 total yards. So I don't think the offense is quite firing on all cylinders. Obviously, they're still missing Derrick Henry. So on that note, the Titans defense, they did an absolute number on Stafford and the Rams, to be honest, at the weekend. Jeffrey Simmons, DL, 38.5 points, 3 sacks, 4 QB hits. Thankfully, I had him in our Lawrence Taylor league, and that was a big factor in my win. Also in the DL, and another potential waiver pickup this week, a little bit of left field, Danico Autry picked up 24.5 points, including 1.5 sacks, another 3 sort of pressures on the QB. That's the second time in 3 weeks he has gone over 20 points. Again, probably not a long-term sort of solution, but if you are a bit short in that position. Harold Landry had another 12 points, got to Stafford on 3 occasions. I would expect the front 7 of the Titans, especially off the back of Sunday's performance, to put pressure on Trevor Siemian this week. The Saints, but to be fair, the Saints have only given up 13 sacks this season, and to be fair, 11 of those were Jameis Winston. Whereas I think Siemian, I suspect, will be more likely to look to run. He'll be looking at short throws. I don't think he'll take too many risks and be looking to turn it over. But either way, I think so. Titans secondary, maybe not, but certainly sort of the front 7, the DLs and the linebackers should be involved in this, including linebacker David Long. Had 19 points on Sunday, including a pick. He's had 5 solid sort of fantasy weeks on the bounce now, so he's someone to be looking at. Although Rashad Evans should be back from the ankle injury this weekend, so he might just eat into that to Long's workload a little bit. If he's past fit, so that'd be something to keep an eye on. I'm not too sure about the Titans secondary. Kevin Byard's, you could make a case for him, I suppose. I mean, after 18 points, including a pick 6, off the back of 21 points he picked up against the Colts. I think the Saints will be looking to keep this game tight. I think they'll look to the offense to try and retain the ball. I don't think, as I've said before, I don't think you'll see Siemian sort of airing the ball out unless they reach a point where they are chasing the game, in which case, yeah, okay, you know, if you have got Kevin Byard, then he'll be sort of sniffing around. Both teams have got sort of injuries and issues on offense for me. But I think after the way the defense sort of wrapped up the Rams on Sunday, I think I'll take another Titans win in this one.
Yeah, I got Titans. I put in a bloodbath. Oh, interesting. Obviously, I just mean up front. I think it's going to be fireworks up front. Two really strong, big teams up front. Interesting what you said about the Saints. They really did throw it away defensively, I think, against the Falcons. They are another team that we're talking about. Talking about rookie Patrick Queen being overly aggressive, really, what I was talking about, and the fact that he's just a little bit too. But the Saints sometimes are like that as a team. I think they're good when they've got to be aggressive, but sometimes when it's time to actually take stock and to just, you know, use your mind and think about what you're doing, you've just got a lot of players there that love to just fly off, you know. And I think that gave away that big play. It was like Matty Ice just outthought him. He's been doing it for years. Anyway, yeah. So...
Yep. Mind you, it wasn't the first time he did it in that game.
No.
I mean, he went to Patterson quite early on in a very similar throw. And you think, well, okay, that's a bit of a shot across the bows. And like I said, you know, when you fight that hard to get it back in the fourth, and you had to be expected. But anyway, I'm not...
Yeah, yeah. I know. It was a really, really interesting one to watch that game. Yeah. So where are my Bucks at Washington? So I've covered 3 matchups actually that I like so far, and I'm gonna cover one which I don't really like IDP scoring wise. It's really crazy, isn't it? Because it's the Bucks at Washington. So offensively and the actual game itself, I actually really, really like it. IDP wise, I really don't. I've got
Both teams had a bye in week 9, so we have no stats to review. Week 8, Devin White had his second 10-plus tackle week, and Levante David is back. It's pointless talking about Devin White because he's not going to be... Anyway, whatever. Levante David, he is definitely worth checking on waivers. The interesting thing about Levante David, he missed time with the injury. He came back for one game, and then he went on the bye week. So you might find people might have just given up on him. If they have, pick him up. He's a great one for the running. He's one of these players that is just a strong tackle floor, lot high snap count. Yeah. Levante David, if you can find him, grab him. JPP and Shaq Barrett, oh, I think they're good bet for this for a sack or two in this one. Maybe that's how you'd call it. I just don't expect this game to be a high-scoring IDP matchup. For Washington, the only man I've really got to start in this is Cole Holcomb. The rest of them, nah, not really interested because the Bucs can get... The Bucs could absolutely strangle the hell out of this game. And I think they probably will. I think it'll be a tight affair. It might even be quite low. Might be low scoring from the Washington point of view. And the Bucs might just do what they've got to do. Washington at home, tough one. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. Not a fan of it at all. So I'm saying Bucs win. I think it'll be a tight, tough game. But Bucs win. That's it. I'm not going to go more. And I can't even talk about some of those players that are in it. I wouldn't predict any of them to score particularly highly in that.
No. It's. I think this matchup for me, from a fantasy perspective, is it's a bit like it's a little bit of that broken record thing. Like when we're talking about the Bears, it's the same thing week in week out. For me, Tampa, good defense, but. Very hard to predict where the points are coming from. They will stop teams, but week on week, you don't know where, who's going to score where.
You're talking the two of the hottest defensive teams going, when you talk about team defense, that at the start of the season, those two were the ones that were coming flying off the board. Well, yeah. Obviously the Rams as well. And it just could be, I don't know, just one of those games. Yeah,
and again, I've said it, and I'm probably repeating myself ad nauseum, but Washington just don't put enough points on the board, and I think that's going to be the story of their season. It's something they'll have to address in the off season. Bucks win, might be tight, they might run away with it, but I just don't see Washington.
There is that
to win it.
There is that thing if they run away with it, but it's if they run away with it. I mean, offensively as well, I don't know quite how, if it was at the Bucs, I'd be just saying to everybody, just play all the Bucs players, just play all the Bucs defense. But because it's at Washington, it might be a bit of a tight, it might be a bit more of a tighter affair, but I expect the Bucs to just play it by just to get the win, get out of there and get the job done.
Yeah. Okay. I have got Panthers at the Cardinals. Right. Well, in terms of this matchup, I think we can safely say the Cards DBs and linebackers are all in play. After Sam Darnold threw three more picks on Sunday to take him to 11th of the season and top of the pick chart. He's also in danger of doubling up and going top of the sack list because he's on 22 now and chasing down Ryan Tannehill. So Marcus Golden more than made up for JJ Watt's continued absence with just the 3 sacks and 36.5 points as the Cards completely rolled over the Niners in San Francisco, 31-17, and it was probably more convincing than the scoreline suggests, to be honest. On top of Golden, they sacked Jimmy G on 2 more occasions. Chandler Jones had 14.5 points on the day. He had one of the other sacks. Jordan Phillips had the other. Buda Baker had a pick and 17 points. Jordan Hicks recovered 2 fumbles and had 21 points. And all this on the road against a Niners team that me and you both like to win the game.
I know.
After a very good offensive performance at Chicago in week 8. I'd be all in Arizona. IDP-wise this week. They could really go off against the Panthers this week. Sam Darnold in this offense looked like a full-on car crash for me at the moment. I think they've, on top of that, I think they've rushed CMC back from his injury, which could come back and bite them in the ass. But I think they were just that desperate because of the concerns over the way Sam Darnold's been playing that maybe they felt they had to bring him back. I don't know. Maybe he's fully fit. I don't know. But I just, I get the feeling that that could be a bit of an issue later in the season. Aside from the Cards players mentioned, you could have a look at DB Jalen Thompson. He's had four double-digit weeks already and is trending up for this week, probably because he's facing the Panthers at home. So he might be one of those sort of secondary players that you want to, you know, slot in just for the Carolina game and see how he gets on. Panthers-wise, well, I mean, Kyler Murray and D-Hop could be back this weekend, but it didn't really seem to make a difference on the weekend. Colt McCoy played well. James Connor just proving me wrong after I got rid of him in the off-season. You know, they just proved they could win without him. So either way, I'd expect the Panthers to be, the Panthers D to be on the field a lot this weekend, a bit like Miami. There's still some safe bets in the Panthers defense. Jeremy Chim was a bit of a tackle monster again on Sunday. 11 total tackles, 2 for a loss, forced fumble, racked up 24.5 points. His points have been noticeably better since week 6. I expect him to be a busy boy again in Arizona on Sunday. Brian Burns picked up 20 points, including a sack. But picked up an ankle injury, so it's just a case of sort of keeping an eye on that. If you've got him on the roster at the moment, his week 10 projected figures on Sleeper are way down, suggesting that Carolina might not risk him this weekend. So, and he was apparently already injured going into the Pats game. So the other week. So, as well as Chin, Hassan Reddick is a pretty safe bet, I think. Picked up another 14 points, another sack against the Pats. An outside pick on the waivers at linebacker could be Shaq Thompson. He's picked up 44 points in the last 2 weeks since his return from injury. Like I said, I'd expect the Panthers' defense to be, you know, for it to be a busy day, especially with this sort of misfiring offense they've got. So, again, it's another game with IDP value on both teams, but there's only one result in the game for me, and that's, you know, that's a Cards win at home.
Yeah, Cards, easy for me. And like you said, it potentially could be an absolute IDP winner with the Panthers absolutely imploding at the moment. Vikings at Chargers for me. As Bren mentioned, another very close game from the Vikings in week 9. And another that ended in a loss, which was difficult to take, but it was a great game to watch. And it actually went a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Harrison Smith, he missed the game due to injury. Well, illness, whatever it is. It gave rookie Cameron Byam his first start. First actual star. He put in an absolute great performance. Third round pick this year. He's somebody to really keep an eye on. I don't know where we're planning on him big picture. But considering that performance, it will certainly raise a few eyebrows. He had 12 tackles, an interception in week 9. 12 tackles, that's the big bit there. I know it was against Lamar Jackson, who loves to chuck it at this season for some reason. But yeah, he certainly done well. So yeah, great pickup there if you could get him. If obviously Harrison doesn't go, if he does go, if you've got room to stash by him, fine. But otherwise, don't. Eric Kendricks, he had a massive 17 tackles this week. He's a must start as always. He's fifth overall now on tackles this season. Up front, I would swerve the Vikings DLs and edge rushers at this time. I think they're going to be tinkering, trying to work out what the best way is to go now. Danielle Hunter is out. But as for the week, it's going to be a heavy dose of Eckler from the Chargers. And I fancy another big points haul from Kendricks. Flipping it over to the Chargers D,
it was a tight game for them as well against the Eagles in week 9. Joey Bosa, he made his presence felt, which has been a bit of a rarity this season for him. Funny old year for him. Linval Joseph, first time we mentioned him as well. He had a nice day with 9 tackles, but he's not really on the IDP radar. Nasir Adderley, we mentioned him. Derwin James, obviously mentioned him. Superstar. They're still scoring well. Kazir White over Drew Tranquil is my pick at linebacker. His usage seems to be going up, and he should score well against this Vikings team, especially when the run-heavy offense with Dalvin Cook. So just to conclude that, I didn't actually mention him in what I was talking, but Cam Dantzler, I mentioned him the week before. He's definitely a pickup at DB. He's racking up some tackles consistently, and he's just a good DB. Kazir White is the one I would pick up from the Chargers side, because you're not going to get Derwin James. And obviously, as mentioned, if Harrison Smith is out, Cameron Bynum, he's the guy to pick up in that one. Chargers to win it for me. I think it'll be tight again. But yeah, there we are.
Another overtime game.
Fucking problem. I hope not. I mean,
I don't know how you do it. At least when we lose, it's over by sort of the third quarter, and I can relax. But
I don't know how
you watch them every week.
I did this time. I just watched it. I just watched it moaning because they were affecting the 9 o'clock kickoff. So I was like,
I don't know though. I'm not as convinced that the Chargers win this game, to be honest. I mean, they're not. The run defense is, I don't rate it.
I know what you mean.
I think Dalvin Cook could cause some problems. And I don't know. I've got a sneaky feeling the Vikings might win them. This weekend. So,
but just to flip that over, our run defense, considering we were playing Baltimore, which,
yeah,
debatably, I'm not quite sure what run game Baltimore have. It's the most weirdest run game going, because it's either some kind of put together run attack from has-beens or Lamar running at this moment in time. That's what it is, isn't it? What is it? Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray is going to come back, or you've got Lamar running. So it's not your standard run defense. So I wonder the same with Eckler. I think it could be a good points haul for both sets of linebackers this week, because I think it's going to be a heavy dose of run from both teams, and rightly so, because they're both elite running backs.
Yeah. Quick word for my favourite player, Le'Veon Bell. we won't go into that. ruined my home league. I'm gonna pick him up.
You still pick him up.
Yeah, just to annoy Cole.
I think just to fill you in, Brendan kept him for like 4 years, however long it was. It seemed like 4 years, probably only two.
It was my first pick. He was straight off the board when we started our home league, and that was it. No one ever saw him again.
Steelers, and he sat out the whole season.
Yeah, and I hung on to him, and then he went to the Jets, and that big money move, and did nothing.
Jets, Chiefs, fucking hell.
I was like, he's got to come good sooner or later. But no, he's just a weird one. But played all right at the weekend, though. Anyway, right, I am going to the Eagles at the Broncos. So, yeah, how about them Broncos? Defense absolutely shut down Dak and this free scoring Cowboys offense. They stopped him for what, 75 first half yards. The interesting one for me, actually, I'm going to go straight into it. Following Von Miller's transfer, it was always going to leave a bit of a hole, and they may already have a ready made replacement. And one of my top picks of the week, it's a bit of a gamble, but the 23-year-old rookie, Jonathan Cooper, picked up 25.5 points, including a couple of sacks, a couple of QB hits. Okay, it's one game, but if you can pick him up for nothing at the moment and you're quick, he's one of those, and Nate's sort of quite big on that. Look, take a punt, bench him, stash him, call it what you want. See if he can go again against, you know, this Jalen Hurts offense. And, you know, with they've still got, Broncos have still got Mike Purcell, Malik Reed still missing in this front seven. So, you know, Cooper could be involved again this weekend.
You never know.
So, but again, you know, he's out there on the waivers. If you snap him up, stick him on the bench, you know, see what he does the next couple of weeks. You're not going to lose anything. I'd expect to see better numbers as well on this Broncos side from linebacker Kenny Young. You know, he's sort of settled down a bit. I'm not big on either set of DBs in this matchup, as we've already touched on with the Broncos last week. You know, they both showed, you know, they were effective in the ground games on Sunday. Although I could make a case for Justin Simmons at Denver, as I expect the Broncos defense to stand a better chance of forcing Hurts to throw the ball this week than the Chargers defense, who, you know, we've already touched on them as well. The run defense is pretty mediocre. I think the Broncos might stand a better chance of stopping Hurts in the run game and forcing him to wear it out a bit. On the Eagles side of it, they're still just so hard to predict in IDP. They racked up some great numbers in week 8, but to be fair, that was against the Lions. You know, they're coming off a tight loss at home to the Chargers, but, you know, the whole game is more of an offensive shootout, really. So where am I looking at the Eagles sort of IDP-wise? Well, as I've said before, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, Teddy on the Broncos side, he doesn't throw many picks. But the Broncos, yeah, again, I think they'll keep the ball on the ground. Bridgewater is, you know, but he is number 2 in the sack count this season. So, again, I'll be looking at sort of the Eagles front seven. So the value for the Eagles is going to be up front. Forget the secondary this week. Javon Hargrave, you know, he's had a great start to the season. He's dropped off a bit after week 5, although he has been nursing a shoulder injury. I'd expect him to get back to sort of double digits this week. Same goes, it's a bit of a punt, but, you know, Josh Sweat. Eagles fans, I think, are going to be demanding more performances like the one he showed in Detroit, especially after he signed a $40 million contract extension a couple of months ago. So I think, you know, there's going to be a bit of pressure on him to sort of step up and perform. One other possible waiver pickup, TJ Edwards at linebacker, 49 points against the Chargers. He had 26 points the week before. And he does seem to have established himself as sort of the top middle linebacker.
Number one
in that defense. So, yeah, he's on my sort of picks of the week. Summing the game up as a whole, I think it'd be a good game. I do like watching Jalen Hurts, but I can't go against the Broncos this week. Not after that defensive performance against the Cowboys. So, yeah, again, a lot of players to look at from fantasy perspective, but in terms of the game, yeah, Denver home win. I think they'll really be buoyed by that performance on Sunday.
Yeah, I think I've got a feeling Josh Sweat might have come off the field at some point in the game. I don't know whether he came back on it, but he definitely went off at some point.
Is he down as questionable? I just want to keep a look at
him. He might be, but that's why his points are down, because it was still a decent game from him side. Yeah, you know I'm big on TJ Edwards. He's won that battle at this stage. I mean, well, I think now not only has he won the battle, Davion Taylor as well has now come up behind as well. So Alex Singleton is dead and buried. Job done.
Yeah, it's not a shame, really. I like Singleton. I've had him sort of in and out of a few teams, but just not doing it at the moment. So
Not me, mate. I've been flying the TJ Edwards flag for about a year now, and I'll tell you what, he's absolutely... They look so much better. They look more aggressive. They look... he's just... Mind you, I listened to the IDP guys earlier, and they were just talking about the snap count being exactly the same. Singleton's got the same... So what they've done is replace Singleton with Edwards. He's had identical snap count. So... You know, he's doing exactly the same things as his Singleton was doing, which is strange from the organization, because you'd expect it to be, you know, at least slightly different. But anyway, they look better. They look a lot better. Right. So I'm going Eagles in that. I'm going Eagles in that. I thought the Broncos' performance was fantastic. I'm just not sure whether it's sustainable. The problem being, like you said, offense is still a little bit questionable. It seemed to click last week. If it does, brilliant. That's what we all want to see, really. The Broncos, I mean, on paper, they're a bloody good side.
Yeah, it was kind of the Broncos defense that we all kind of expected to see back in the summer. And
yeah,
just for whatever reason, it just, you know, a few injuries, but not as, you know, other teams have had to deal with a lot worse.
But offensively, they clicked as well. You know, they actually scored some points and they had that run game was phenomenal, really. I thought it was really good. Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams really done some damage and happy days. But I'm going Eagles. I'm still going Eagles on this one. Just until I can get a bit more consistency. Seahawks, Packers. Ooh. Yeah, quite like that. Seahawks had a bye in week 9. And I fancy them against the Packers. This Packers team that is going through the old Aaron Rodgers fucking COVID saga. God. Jesus. But forgetting that, push that to one side. But I do fancy them. I thought the Packers looked well. I'll go on to them in a minute. But Russ may be back as well on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to this one. Before the bye week, the Seahawks starting DBs. They all scored well in the blowout win against the Jags. Bobby Wagner, he got himself 14 tackles at linebacker. In what was a great week for the Seahawks. And as I said, I fancy the Seahawks in this one. I fancy them to get to Rodgers or Love, whoever it is at quarterback. Not really worried. I feel, though, that the actual game itself, I mean, you're looking Packers-Seahawks. It's got points written all over it, and I feel like it could be a high-scoring affair. So it just draws me. It draws me to the secondaries, and it draws me especially to the Seahawks secondary. And I'm going Quandre Diggs in this. He's great in coverage, and I feel the matchup feels right for him. So Quandre Diggs is my pick. I would say, yeah, maybe Jamal Adams. Maybe Jamal Adams has been, his tackle floor has been pretty good. He just hasn't had the big plays this year. That's mainly because he's been definitely used as deep safety more often than not. He hasn't been up in the box as much. No one up front for the Seahawks really jumped out to me as a good pickup this week. Linebackers, obviously. I mentioned Jordan Brooks. I mention him every week, seem to. Good pickup if you can, but I doubt if he's going to be available. Going over to the Packers, week 9 wasn't great. It was weird. They didn't fully lose touch with the Chiefs, but it never felt to me that they were going to win the game. Or it was always like they were always going to be one score behind, and that's kind of, well, so it finished 13-7. But yeah, I don't know. I thought Jordan Love done all right. It was difficult, but a difficult place to go for him for his first game, absolutely. And, you know, the Chiefs can be quite in your face, even though they're not particularly very good as a defense. They're still quite aggressive in how they act and how they perform. So it was probably a bit of a cauldron for him. IDP-wise for the Packers, Chris Barnes. He's had a few poor weeks and he's returned and he logged a great performance. He's played, actually, in the last 2 weeks, he's played 62% of the snaps, which is more like it. And it's good to see, really. He was all over the place against the Chiefs. I thought he was a constant. Yeah, he was the guy in the defense that seemed to be making those plays. Devondre Campbell is obviously the main guy at middle linebacker. But Barnes is a good pickup if you keep seeing this amount of time on the field. So yeah, maybe it's now. I had him early doors. I had Chris Barnes early doors and got rid of him in a few leagues
like a lot of people did, but maybe it's time to pick him back up and put him back in. But apart from Barnes, Sean Gary, he got himself a sack. He scored 14.5 points. And, you know, if Russ is back, Russ likes to hold on to the ball in the pocket, hang around a bit. So Gary's definitely worth a punt this week. Darnell Savage, Kevin King scored well secondary-wise in week 9. They're worth a mention, but it's about it for me. I'm going for Seahawks upset in Lambeau Field. I'm really calling it tonight. I don't know. I just fancy it. Fancy mixing it up. So, yeah. I don't know why. After the shocking display last week, I should be playing it safe. But no, I'm going bloody Seahawks.
I'm going to come down on the other side of the fence. I am going to play it safe, assuming that. And I was just having Rogers a look earlier on. Yeah, it's going to be touch and go. The word is that providing he tests negative, he should be cleared by Saturday. So there's a chance
he should be all right. He's probably shoved some leaves up his bum or whatever he thinks is the way to go forward.
He's sort of puffing on unicorn horns or whatever. Whatever he thinks puts COVID to bed. I don't know, but it's all a bit weird. But and you're right. I mean, I think it was.
Do what you want, but don't tell everybody that you're vaccinated. Well, he didn't, did he? What did he say? It wasn't vaccinated. What was the word?
I don't know. It was suitably vague, but I think the inference was that he kind of
immunized. Are you immunized? Or something like that. And he went, yes. Or it might have been vaccinated, but he went, yes. He didn't say how.
Yeah, by a witch doctor. <didn't> say...
Fuck's sake.
But,
incredible. But anyway.
Rubbing crystals on his helmet or whatever he's been doing. Anyway, I'm going to go. Assuming Rogers is back.
Sounds painful.
I'll go with the Packers.
Go on then.
So, right, my last game of this week, Chiefs at the Raiders. Right, I'm going to start with the Chiefs. I'm just not interested in the Chiefs at the moment. I don't think either of us really are. We've been talking about the Packers.
Yeah,
they scraped together a 13-7 win. But the Packers under Jordan Love, I take on board what you're saying about Love, but I thought that the offense were just awful, really. And I don't think all this pantomime, it's a tough sitch for Love to come into. He looked like a bit of a high school footballer, deer in the headlights, call it what you will. But I don't think this pantomime with Rodgers has done the team any favors, certainly not Jordan Love, who's, I don't think Rodgers is his number one fan at the best of times. So, going back to the Chiefs, yes, they got the win, but really for me, only two remotely standout IDP scorers against that Green Bay offense, both at DB, Lajarius Sneed with 19.5 points, Tyrann Mathieu with 18.5. I think both are good for the odd pick or sack. And to be fair, this season, it has been the odd pick or sack. I think I haven't got the thing in front of me. I think they've got one of each apiece. So, again, not really ripping up any trees. To be honest, I'd leave the rest of them alone at the moment. I think this team is still all over the shop at the moment, to be fair. I've already touched on that. I think Green Bay's defense did a decent job at the weekend. But I think if Aaron Rodgers had started that game, they win. Really? I think it's that simple for me.
Yeah.
Like you said, there was only a score in it. And I think had that been the case, the Chiefs are rolling into this AFC West clash at 4-5. Even lower on confidence. The Raiders, okay, they had a bit of a moment at the Giants. And perhaps contrary to what I'd hoped and I said last week, maybe the whole Henry Ruggs debacle has had more of an impact on the preparation going into the game. Although credit has to go to the Giants defense. They had a good game. Although to be fair, again, maybe I should have done a bit more homework on the Raiders because going into this Giants game, I mean, I didn't realize in the past 18 seasons, this is a really random stat, past 18 seasons, the Raiders have the worst win record in the league coming off a bye. In 18 years, they've only won 3 games coming off a bye week.
Wow. That's
by miles, like the worst sort of post-bye performance of any team. But I think, to be fair, I think this divisional matchup at home could be just what they need. They've got a chance to go 6-4, drop the Chiefs back to 5-5. And I think this defense will fancy it.
I agree.
I reckon they'll be watching this stuttering offense performance. They just can't seem to get going. Yannick Ngakoue in particular, I think, is a must-start for me. He's racked up 53 points in the last two games. And I think him in particular, he'll fancy himself against his Chiefs offense. At linebacker, Denzel Perryman, Corey Littleton, I think, again, the safe starters, as I would say they have been most weeks this season. But the other must-start for me this week, Jonathan Abram at DB, especially with the way Mahomes has been throwing. I mean, you saw it again on Sunday. He's still trying these Hollywood throws, risky passes, rather than just simplifying things, you know, just trying to get the offense doing the basics right and just seeing games out. He's still trying to force it. He's now into double figures this season on picks. So I think Abram for me is definitely one. If you've got him, you're not going to pick him up on the waivers, I don't think. But like a lot of these Raiders players, they've a lot of them have been fairly consistent this season. Looking at the game as a whole, I keep thinking the Chiefs are going to get their shit together and go on a bit of a run. But I look at that Week 10 performance. I didn't see anything on Sunday to suggest they're anything near really putting it together. I could be wrong. I mean, the way the season's been going, as we've already said numerous times, they'll probably ram it down your throats, turn up and put a 40 burger on the Raiders. But I just don't see anything to indicate it at the moment. So I'm going for a bounce back win for the Raiders at home.
Yeah, I got the Raiders as well. And like you said, I think you've got the chance of Derek Carr steady on his shoulders. I know he didn't have a good week last week. And I just think the Raiders up front got a good chance to get into him. You mentioned Jonathan Abram. The thing is with Jonathan Abram as well, he's sixth overall in DBs on tackle count. Mm. So serious tackle flaw. And that's because he's playing up in the box.
Yeah,
so he's not just on cover.
And I've not highlighted him necessarily just because Mahomes is chucking it around lollipopping it around a little bit. But like you said, he steps up. He'll get good tackle numbers. He's probably good for the odd sack as well. I think it's, he plays in that sort of position where if you fancy him in this matchup to, like you say, good tackle numbers, he's more than likely to come up with a pick. And I think he's an obvious one for this weekend.
Yeah, like it. So going over to me and finishing it off with Monday Night Football, Rams at 49ers. So before I go on to the 49ers, what the fuck went on with the Rams in week 9? What the? That was one of those things. You know where you just go, I really, like most people were like, what? Hang on a minute. Let's just go back over what's happened here. So have a look at what happened with Stafford. Have a look at what happened with... I think the O-line just fucked off. I don't know exactly what was going on with the Rams, but seriously, it was a right mess.
Cup still did all right. I think,
Hey, say that again?
I think Cooper Kupp still... He was about the only one that came out of that offensive performance with any...
Unbelievable modicum
of credit, probably.
Yeah, but I mean, Jesus. So the O-line was shredded by the Titans and Stafford just had an absolute stinker. IDP-wise, so talk about some sort of positives because they were on the field again quite a bit. IDP-wise, Ramsey got an interception. Donald got a sack. So did Leonard Floyd. And Jordan Fuller at DB led the way in tackles. That's really about it for the Rams, which is, it's crazy, really. I usually spend so much of the segment, whatever team they're playing against, talking about the Rams. It's quite nice to actually cut it right there. So let's just put it down as an off week and sort of move on. So I'm not really high on this matchup either for the Rams, but I do expect them to bounce back and win the game. For the Niners,
as you mentioned, Bren, we called it. I was really high on them. Their defensive performance was decent in week eight, and offensively they looked like they were getting together. Thought it was going to be a big chance for them to really turn it around. And they lost to the Cardinals with Colt McCoy behind center. No DeAndre Hopkins. No, you know, it was just a bit of just that. That was like not a C team, but it was a B team from the bloody Cardinals as such. And to lose like that was a bit embarrassing. And the way they lost as well. I mean, the O-line created some serious lanes for James Connor, and he just fucking destroyed them.
You know you're having a bad day when James Connor racks up, fantasy scores like that.
I like James Connor, like I know you do. I know he's burnt you a couple of seasons fantasy-wise, but I always
picture him as that sort of workhorse. He's that sort of running back you put in when you're sort of 5 yards out.
He's not that quick, is he? He's not that quick. I watched that one where he ran the long touchdown that he ran, and it was like he was carrying a couple of barrels.
How are you letting him do that, honestly?
I know, but I mean, yeah, it was not great at all from the 49ers. But yeah, defensively, they were bloody awful. So stat-wise, though, for the 49ers, this is how IDP works, which makes it quite laughable. They spent so much bloody time on the field. They've racked up some points here. And especially, so Fred Warner, he had 14 tackles, 17 points. Most of them mainly being dragged along by James Connor. no, I'm joking. But seriously, Arik Armstead, he had 10 tackles and a sack. So a nice points tour for him. He may be a decent pickup moving forward, actually, him. Aziz Al-Sahir, he got 9 tackles, and a few others got high tackles as well. There's plenty of them from the 49ers, and it was just down to the fact that the D was on the field, and they just got ran on and ran on and ran on because that was what was working. They need to sort that run defense out bloody quickly. I mean, like today, because if they don't, it could happen again in week 10 a little bit. So I know the Rams run game is not their biggest strength, but still, they've still got a decent run game and they can still use it when they want. So they really need to sort that out. So the picks for me are Armstead and Al-Shahir for the 49ers, because I think they'll probably get run on again. And Jordan Fuller, he's a good pickup. If he's there, I'm sure he is. He's a funny one for the safeties. Jordan Fuller and Tyler Rapp. Tyler Rapp actually spends more time in the box. But Fuller maybe for the big play, he could be in on this one. I reckon Rams win. For me on this one. What do you reckon, Brem?
Yeah, I'd copy and paste that all day long. I mean, Rams, yeah, okay. The best teams have bad days at the office, and that's, I think, that, like you said, we put it down to that. The run game, again, okay, you know, they've got Henderson. He's a decent. Mind you, I mean, like you say, if they can't stop, you know, James Connor, then Henderson's a much more mobile RB, so they're going to have problems if they don't address that and quit. But
it's a funny one, though, because the thing is where you've got the Arizona O-line, where you've gone, they've obviously done a job on him. But, I mean, I would have said the Rams O-line is right up there, but, I mean, they got absolutely more by the tight end, so
I think it's the old adage at the moment. I think this is genuinely one of those NFL seasons where you go, it is literally, you can have all the stats, you can have all the information. I've heard it said on numerous podcasts that I've listened to, people that have been doing this, you know, much older, much longer, much more experienced than you know, we are. And they're just going, hey, we when it comes down to it, any given Sunday, we don't really know what's going to happen. And so, that makes it entertaining.
Yeah. With that in mind, I think the thing is the guys moving forward who were looking at, you can only go off the stats that you've got. And also you can all, you know, look at the tackle count. I mean, it's not hard to do. If you want to look at the tackle count, it's quite easy. You pick on the league, select the league that you're talking about, and then you go over to season highest on Sleeper. It's fine if you want to do it that way. Click on tackle and it'll give you your leading tackle numbers and you can pick it by position.
Yeah.
And go on season. Yeah. It's really simple to do if you want to do it like that. Or obviously go on to ESPN and find out the real stats, or PFF, or whatever way you want to do it. But the thing is go off those numbers at this stage, because like you said, that's all you can really go off.
No, and I totally agree with that, because it just highlights the fact that actually predicting what given IDP players are going to do, looking at those sort of stats as we do week in, week out, is infinitely easier, especially this season, than trying to predict the game results.
Yeah.
Because I think at the moment you're on a little bit of a hiding to nothing.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's it. I mean, so we're doing weekly matchups. So, I mean, we can pretty much, it's crazy really when you look at it. We're talking about picks and sacks and things like that. Some of the big plays, which usually have been really hard to predict. However, because we're going off quarterback play, which is actually reasonably consistent at this moment in time, it's not too bad. You can pretty much say that, you know, your rookie QBs or the ones that are not that invested, they're going to get sacked. They're quite happy to take the sacks. Well, it's fine. Start the DLs against them then.
Yeah.
And then maybe start the secondaries as well and stack them, because, you know, so there we go. You know, that's the kind of, we're making it that easy.
Yeah. But just dipping back to the Rams Niners game. I mean, in terms of result, Rams all day long, if for no other reason, the Niners are just awful at home. Yeah, their fans must love going on the road.
I can't understand the Niners at the moment. I really can't. One minute they look all right, and then they've got so many good players. I mean, the Ayuk thing, he was not involved because he fell out. I don't understand that shit.
They're one of those teams, and you put, you know, teams like the Broncos in the same category coming into the season. You know, I fancy the Niners, I fancy the Broncos to you know, go, you know, big into the postseason. But at the moment, they're
crazy horses. Right. Yeah. Right, that's about it, guys. So thank you very much for tuning in. And get on, I mentioned it at the start of the pod, get on the old 5-yard free roll on Fan Team on Sunday. It's going to be massive. Really good. You can get the Fan Team app and then just log on there, have a look at the games and find that. But the best way to do it is to tune in Thursday night onto the DFS pod, and you can find out all about it from there. That just leaves me to say thanks for tuning in, guys, and remember, keep rushing.
See you next week.